You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthralled above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Yes, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. 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 Stand in awe of you, and I stand in awe of him today. Last week's message got erased on the computer, so those that wanted copies, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. Somehow we got the program closed out, and I think it was just meant for this people that were here today, that day. And it was a good service. We all got to share and worked out great. But for some reason, it wasn't to be recorded. So we'll try it again today. Got the recorder going, and we'll see what happens. This last few weeks has been the craziest weeks of my life. I don't know what's in the air or what's in the water we're drinking or what's going on somewhere, but I know it has just been, with the exception of there's been some wonderful times. I look out there and see Steve out in the audience, what a servant he's been. He invited Alec and I up there, and we had a great time fishing and stayed in Larry's motorhome where he had it parked up at John Day Dam. We didn't catch anything, but it was a nice boat ride. And Merlin did. Merlin caught a salmon, and we ate it that night, and that was best tasting salmon I've ever had in my life. It was that big, huh? So, really appreciate Steve's hospitality. It was wonderful. Excellent food. Man, I had never ate so good in the outdoors. We had potatoes and salad and sausage and fresh cooked barbecued salmon. Don't get no better than that. And thank goodness we're going to have times like that, because I tell you, the other stuff going on this last few weeks has just been crazy. I've had a breakdown of everything, from my car to my truck to my hot tub to my computer to, I even bought this cool laser light pen because I wanted to do some pointing on stuff, and it's brand new and it don't work. I don't know what is happening, but... it works, but half the time it don't, and I have to hit it, and then it'll start working, and then it's not very bright. I remember I used to have one years ago that, I mean, boy, you could point anything, and yeah, the batteries are in, right? But but anyway, it's just been one thing after another. The car, it just starts with the simple emergency brake line broke one day, so now we have an emergency block that we put at the back of the tire, keep it from rolling back every day. To then the little wind-up handle for the window, it broke off the other day. And then the other day, I'm coming out of Walmart, and we look, and we see a big puddle dripping under our car. And I'm what's next? I have the list this long, and as soon as I get one thing done, five more are added to it. And I'm getting so far behind on everything that has to be done. But because of it all, it's great, because I've discovered, like I said last week, I've discovered immortality, and that's that God gave each and every one of us a certain something we had to get done, a certain amount of things that we had to get done while we're here on earth. And I'm so far behind right now that I will never die. So the key to immortality is to find out what those things are that God has planned for you to do on this earth, and then do them very slowly. We'll procrastinate.
Don't worry. It sounds as if God's taking care of that as it is anyway.
Yeah. What happens if we don't get them all done? We stay here longer. We can't go till we get them done. Okay. So, anyway, it's been the car, the truck, all of a sudden started wobbling down the road and pulling to the right, and so I took it in, and it turned out to be a tire getting ready to explode. But thankfully, I had an extra spare that came with the truck when I had bought it, so it only cost $10 to fix it, but when I'm first feeling it, I'm like, oh, no, what now, you know? A hot tub, I fixed it. It had a bad element. It wasn't heating up, so I replaced the element. Then got it filled up, and it had a leak. So I had to drain it all again, fix the leak, wait a few days for the glue to dry. Thank God for super glue. You know. But anyway, fill it back up. And I got to use it for a few days, and I was relaxed and in heaven again. And then it started popping circuit breakers, so I've got a new problem. And I think it's the high limit breaker switch or something in there, but that's one of the other things on my list again. It was on the list, I took it off, now it's back on again. computers, when normal people's computers crash, it's usually just one thing. You know, usually your hard drive crashes or something like that. Right, Tony? Tony knows his computer. For most people. But for people like Tony and I mean, if it weren't for bad luck, we'd have no luck at all. So when my hard drive crashes at the same time that my CD drive crashes, at the same time that my backup hard drive crashes. Whew. So it's one thing after another. Just as it, and then when it comes to health problems, I'm taking a break right now from chemo. So I'm feeling much better, starting to grow hair. Unfortunately, I'm having to pull it all right back out again from all this stuff that's going on, because it's just driving me crazy. So at least the hair's coming back for me to be able to pull it right back out again. But the doctor, I went and saw not my oncologist, but my primary care physician. He was going over my report the other day and looking, and he says, "Jeez," he said, "it wasn't enough that you had to get cancer." He says, "You've had this blood clot in your jugular vein, and you've got blood clot in your kidneys, and your liver enzymes went up, and your cholesterol and triglycerides are now through the roof." And he said, "You didn't just get cancer." He says, "You had to get kicked in the beep at the same time." And those were his exact words. He said, "It wasn't enough to get cancer. You also had to get kicked in the behind." There's reasons for everything. But I've been going crazy the last few weeks, not realizing that I could have, the answer was right there inside of me. I didn't stop to talk to the inner self, the Christ within. Listen for my Father's voice, because I was distracted, and because everything was bombarding me all at once, I didn't even think to stop and relax and look inside myself and find out what's going on here and what can I do about this. I was just frazzled, overwhelmed, and I finally, just the other day, yesterday or day before, I said, "Oh, why haven't I turned internally? Where's my focus?" So I turned internally and said, "Father, can you tell me what's going on? What do I need to do? What is going on here?" And instantly, I'm learning to hear that voice of God. It's taking, you know, it's developing, but I'm more and more learning to know whether it's a voice in my head that's saying something or whether it's the Spirit of God inside that's speaking truth to me. And instantly I knew this was God, and it was clear as a bell. And the words that came to me when I says, "What's going on here?" The words, "Pack of dogs." And instantly I went, a light came on, and I realized what was happening was I preached back in the end of July, I think it was, the message called "It Just Is." Remember where... we don't have to necessarily judge it as good or bad. It just is, because God uses the good and the bad. Sometimes when we think we're in a bad situation, it ends up being a good situation. Sometimes you have something good and it ends up being bad. So, you know, it just is. But in that message, we talked about Caesar, the dog whisperer. And if you've ever watched the show, The Dog Whisperer, he shows you how to train dogs. Or actually how to train yourself. Because it's a matter of... training yourself, not the dog. But he showed to focus that energy, to be calm and assertive, a calm and assertive attitude, and to take control of the dog. And we had learned this with our dog. As I went for walks, we would walk by neighborhood dogs, and over at this house, this dog would come up to the fence, yip, 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 yip. And our dog would start to, and all we had to do is pull his focus, just kind of give him a little tug and keep him walking straight forward, keep him in a positive direction. Here, we're on this walk. We don't care about this dog over here. He's just trying to get our attention, and we don't need his attention, because we're on a mission and we're moving forward, and let's stay on our walk and not get focused on the barking dog over here. And it works. I mean, we've been able to go through the blocks now with very little problems from any neighborhood dogs. And then I compared the barking dogs to those things in our life. Every time we have hot tubs breaking down, computers breaking down, financial problems, marriage problems, problems with family, anything becomes a barking dog in our life, and it's a distraction to keep our focus away from our walk and our path, keep our focus away from knowing and being who we are in Christ, being that new creation being. So all these barking dogs take and pull us away from being who we're to be, and staying calm, being the peace. And here, I was just learning how to handle these dogs, all these situations that were popping up in my life. I would overcome each barking dog as I came. But see, what I wasn't prepared for was, and of course I should have known that just because I have mastered or conquered one problem in my life, that it was just going to stay okay now. Of course not. Now comes the next test. So I got through a few barking dogs here or there, so then I got attacked by a whole pack of dogs. So the whole pack of dogs is attacking me, and that's what God was saying. This is a pack of dogs. The pack of dogs. And it reminded me of a show I saw several months ago where Caesar went into a woman's prison, and these women in the prison were rehabilitating dogs. That was one of a program they had at this particular prison, where they took dogs that were going to be put down. They were troubled dogs, and they got to be with the troubled women, and together they get to learn how to be untroubled. But they needed some help, and Caesar came in and showed them. And here you have, I don't know how many dogs there were, 20 or 30 dogs. And they would all be at each other and running into each other and fighting with each other and getting in the way. And Caesar could take, at the end of this program that he showed him, by the end of the day, he had every single dog on a leash. And that was like, that must have been 20 dogs. And he's walking them all one-handed in a line around the track out in the yard. That's how good he is, because he's learned how to focus energies and attention to keep everyone on track and not losing their focus, not letting these dogs get out of control and do their own thing. And he taught the women then how to work together as a team and keep the dogs working together as a team. But he is the pack leader, took those dogs, and with one hand on the leashes could take them all around the track with no problems. But he taught them also how to come in and help. If there was a dog getting out of line, being a team, someone else could come in and take that dog for the moment until it got its energy level back down to where it could be with the group again. So anyway, I realize now what I'm up against. I've got a pack of dogs, and just as I could take on a few dogs here and there through changing my focus, just by shifting my focus to who I am in Christ and being who I am in Christ, I can then get that peace and harmony back. My attention goes, instead of, because by law of attraction, whatever you're focused on and whatever you're thinking about and talking about, you just create more of that. So by shifting my focus internally to who I am in Christ, now I've changed my focus, and the things I'm going to be creating will be, my focus will be able to deal with these dogs. They won't be a problem. And I've got a transparency I'm going to put up on the screen here.
Yeah, but you don't need that.
That was my next step. That's okay. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you, Tony. Tony does so much to help with the computers here in the church and with young Marines. He's in Alex, a leader in young Marines. And I don't know if I've ever said it. I really appreciate all the work you do over there. I know Alec appreciates you there. And anyway, back to the focus. I'm going to put something up here on the... These pictures are taken on top of Badger Mountain over here. My dad walks it 3 times a week. I walk it once or twice a week. They have a really nice hiking trail. And you get up to the top, and we're not even to the top yet here. But anyway, we're not quite to the top, but you can see the view of the Tri-Cities. It's hazy, and we're probably not getting a good picture on the... Yeah, that'll work. Everything's backwards when I look on the... Everything's backwards. I think I'm pointing here, and it's over there. Anyway, on a clear day, you can see the White Cap Mountains of Rainier and Hood and Adams from up top of Badger, and we can look over. It was a nice trail to go up. And one day, and I love going up here because when I finally get to the top and I can breathe again, I know it's all downhill from there, and it feels so good to go back downhill. But the beauty, as you go, every step that you go, you can see a new area of overlooking the Tri-Cities, Benton City, and everywhere. You can see off over towards Walla Walla. You can just see everything all around you, and it's beautiful. And that's what I enjoy. I enjoy not just the exercise, but to look at the beauty. But here a couple weeks ago, during all this crazy time, we're walking along, and... we're almost to the top, and there in front of my dad on the trail is a rattlesnake. Yeah, I don't like snakes. But there's a rattlesnake, and he takes his walking stick there, and he moves the snake out of the road. Okay, but from then on, do you think I'm looking around at all this beauty at the picture? No, I'm missing all the beauty up there because I'm looking straight down at my path and I'm not wanting to see any rattlesnakes. I couldn't get my attention off of, I couldn't keep my attention on the beauty. Instead, my whole full attention was on, is there a rattlesnake? Where's the next one going to be? Dad just ticked that one off, so on our way back down, he's going to be jumping out of the bushes at us. I can see it coming already. He's waiting for us to come back down and say, yeah, push me with a stick, will you? So again, once again, it's focused. It reminded me of a story. The whole way down, I'm like, I'm missing this whole beauty because all my focus is on a snake, on a barking dog, another barking dog. And I'm missing a true focus of where I should be. But it reminded me of a story of a guy I talked to years ago that had got back from the Vietnam War, and he was telling me the stories about going through the jungles with his unit. And I said, well, aren't there snakes over there? And he said, oh, yeah. Oh, there were snakes over there. Big ones. I go, did you ever see any? And he said, no. He said, but everybody else I was with did. And I said, well, how come you didn't? He said, because I wasn't looking for them. And I was, oh, okay, you see, and he told me, only the guys that saw the snakes were the ones that's all they were looking for. They're walking everywhere, oh, I don't want a snake, where's the snake? And they're looking all over, and they saw plenty of snakes because they were looking for them. So whatever your focus is on, that's what you're going to see. If our focus is on the barking dog, then that's all you're going to see and feel. If my focus is on all these things that's going on, my hot tubs, my cars, my truck, the laser pen, you know, everything, that's breaking down. If that's where my focus is and that's where I keep my attention, then that's all I'm going to see, and I'm going to even attract more. And that's all I'm going to keep seeing. If I keep looking for a rattlesnake, I'm going to find one. But then I miss the beauty. I miss the beauty because I'm looking for a snake and miss the whole point. Exactly. Looking, that's very good, Diane. Looking down instead of looking up. So looking at the lower realm instead of the higher realm. And that's the whole point of my message, is switching our focus from... What have we got? Look at that. Look at that. We pull the transparency off of the... Pull the transparency off, and there looks like three ghost images of us are stuck on there. Wow, that's really strange. That's our spirits. Yeah. Our spirits were still there. Look at that. It's a miracle. Let's get the press in here. We could get somewhere off this. It's one of those, what do they call them, apprehensions? Or what do they call those? Where you see Mary in a stop sign or something, and in a donut and a bagel. Well, I don't know. I think we should leave it. I think we're on to something here. No, go ahead. I'm just kidding. What is it? Aberration? Well, I mean, I heard of those people that, I mean, there's a bagel store that had a bagel that looked like Mother Mary or something, and now it became the most popular place in the world, and, well, we could fill this church up. Okay, well, the evidence is gone. Well, we could sure tell a good story, though, couldn't we? That was a shadow, that was illusion, that was an image. That wasn't the real thing. Okay. And the real thing is the Christ within us. And that's where our focus needs to be, because, you know, God is so much bigger than what we put on to be. And that's one of the things I've been seeing as I'm reading some of the books I've been reading lately, and starting to realize that there are so many other, I'm going to use this again in a minute, but I'll turn that fan off for a few minutes. Yeah. On the recording. But experiences, God's been bringing me back and showing me different experiences that I've had my whole life. And from the time I was baptized, baptized, sprinkled as a baby in the Lutheran church, and then I was baptized around 8 years old in the Baptist church. Got dunked. I didn't get sprinkled. I got dunked, because baptism means to be buried in water, not sprinkled. And then that was done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then, in the Pentecostal church at the age of 13, baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because some people have a debate over, you know, should it be Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or should it be Lord Jesus Christ, because there's scriptures that would tell you both. And so another one of those silly things that religions get to argue with. And I knew a man that got baptized under both so that he knew he was covered. Yeah, it's silly. But silly traditions and religions and, but I'm covered. I was sprinkled as a Lutheran, dunked as a Baptist, baptized for the circumcision of the heart, the cutting away of the old man, revealing the Christ within, basically, as a teenager, and then baptized with the understanding that I would receive the gift of tongues, as it says in the New Testament. And sure enough, and what an experience that was. Like I said last week, these are wonderful experiences that we have in God are wonderful, but we cannot get attached to the experiences. The experiences were there as a stepping stone to bring us to the next level. If we stay attached to the experience, then we're always looking for something to give us another experience like that. And we're not happy, we're not at peace until we reach another experience. And then we've missed the boat. Because the experience brings us to a next step where we now can live in a new enlightenment until we have our next step. But we have to be the peace and the joy. That's why I found that there is no way to happiness. There is no way to peace. There is no way to love, because love is the way. Happiness is the way. Peace is the way. And we have to be love. We have to be peace. We have to be happiness. And it creates and generates from in and from out of us, each and every one of us. And once again, when I'm talking to me. I mean, these messages that I have preached these last several times are all for me. And so if anybody thinks I'm pointing at anyone, I'm in no way doing that. because I'm the one that needs these sermons, and I preach to myself all the time. But God's been showing me experiences. He brought me back to the tongues. There were lots of different things going on back in those days. There was the big healing movements that came through. Everybody's arms were shorter than the other like this, and then they'd pray over them, and then their arm came back. Now, and I seriously had, I don't know if you guys ever saw any of those Pentecostal meetings and stuff, but I had one leg that was a little shorter than the other. I used to wear an appliance in my shoe. And we went to church one time. We had it x-rayed by the doctor, a doctor who was an atheist, till the day he died and he cried out for Jesus. But I prayed. I felt the warmth. I felt the energy. Okay, could have all been in my head, as some people would say. But I felt the warmth, I felt the energy, and that leg grew. I felt it grow. We went back to the doctor and showed him, and he's, something's wrong here. He's looking and he's measuring, and I don't know what it is, but it's not, no, but there's no such thing as, you know, God healing people and things. So he didn't want to buy that, but nevertheless, it happened. Now I look back, as time goes on, I always look back, were these experiences really real? Or were they all just in my head? And so you battle with that all the time. Yeah. Well, that's true. Even if, they've proven that. Even if it's not God doing a healing, so to speak, through waving his arm. I mean, our minds can, they do that with placebo pills all the time. Here, take this pill and it's just a sugar cube. And you get healed because the mind is a powerful tool.
Where is the ultimate coming from? You may think it's coming from your mind, but it's the God, the Christ within.
Sure, I agree with that. It's the Christ within that does the healing, even, yeah. Yeah. We have to remember where we're created from and in whose image. We're created from the image of God. And that's the whole source is God. And God is the source, and we're here. And that's part of my message here today. As Larry would say, you're stealing my message. I was just going to say that.
I'm not sorry.
I was just going to say that. I have it right here in my note. But, and I was just going to say that. Because as I said last week, we have to remember everything starts with God, flows out from God, returns to God. Everything is God. I used to think that, and I was taught that God created this whole universe and everything out of nothing. And it came it's been an epiphany here just recently that no, God did not create everything from nothing. Where did the nothing come from then? No, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, there was only God. There was not a nothing or some space dust over here. There wasn't this or that. There was only God. And this whole universe is only God. We are all part of God. Everything, God says, everything that he made was made by him and for him, of him. We're all of it. And through it, all of creation, all of this universe, in the unseen world as well as the seen world, there is so much more out there. I mean, I saw these pictures my dad had emailed me months ago, and it just, when I first saw them, it amazed me. You guys see these? Okay, here's our, it's a picture of our planet Earth. And now, just to get a comparison of this part of our universe. The planet Earth compared to Venus. Venus and Earth is about the same size. Mars, you can see, is considerably smaller, and Mercury and Pluto is the smallest there. Now, when we go up to the next scale, here's that same old Earth right here. Looks like a little marble in comparison to a ginormous bowling ball, which is Jupiter. Jupiter is huge. I mean, what an awesome, my Earth is just a little marble compared to this planet. And I was like, wow, that's just amazing. I mean, we put all our focus and attention And our whole realm of being is all based on our physical and on this one little teeny tiny planet right here, the size of a marble compared to Jupiter. And I thought that was pretty amazing. But then I was even more amazed when I looked at our sun. Oh my God, he says. The size of the sun is just unbelievable. Here's Earth now. Here's Jupiter. Jupiter looks like a marble compared to the sun, which is the size of 10 bowling balls probably. I'm trying to get people listening to the CD to get a perspective of this. And then here's our planet Earth is the size of a, the size of a pea, if that even. I mean, look at that compared to our sun. And I thought that was pretty impressive until I saw the next picture. Oh, my goodness. Look at there. The sun looks like a grape. Okay, the size of a grape compared to here we have Sirius, Pollux, I believe it was pronounced, and Arcturus. And Arcturus... We'll get our science lesson here. Arcturus is the fourth brightest star in the sky. Pollux is a bright star in the constellation Gemini. Sirius, I think that's a satellite radio station. We have that on DirecTV. So now we look, it says here that Jupiter, in this realm here, at this scale, Jupiter is about 1 pixel in size. Remember Jupiter, that big, huge planet that was just way bigger than Earth? Jupiter now is just a pixel. Where are we at? There we go. A pixel in size, and Earth is invisible at this scale right here. And I'm, wow, what a universe that we have. This is just the tip of the iceberg. And we haven't even begun to know and understand what's all out there. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. And I thought that was pretty impressive until I saw the next picture. Remember Arcticus, which was the fourth brightest star? There's Arcticus there. It's the size of a marble. And we have Rigel, Aldebaran, Betelgeuse. I thought that was an old movie. Betelgeuse. But Betelgeuse is a... Betelgeuse, a bright red intrinsic variable star in the constellation Orion. And then the largest there we have is Antares. It shows a long E. Antares, And that is the brightest in the constellation Scorpio. But look at the size. I'm just amazed. And Jupiter is invisible now at this scale. And the sun, our sun that was so ginormous compared earlier in the earlier pictures, the sun is 1 pixel compared to Antares. What a universe. And as God has taken me into seeing that there's... I get little tiny experiences all the time as I go get into spirit, whether it be during worship or while I'm reading books. But all the time when I can get alone where there's peace and harmony, you know, because like I told you last week, we've been eating our vegetables, our peas and hominy. So you come to our house, you can have peas and hominy. And as I eat my peas and hominy, I start to experience things from within. And all the time, through I look back, God has been showing me more and more where he has shown me experiences. And lately I get more and more experiences of what's out there, that there's so much more to this. It's almost like outer body experiences, but, you know, not so woo-woo like some of the stories I've heard. But I do kind of have these outer body experiences. Something's going on within a spirit world within me, because that's what's so big and huge. That was just I just threw that in there. I think that's so pretty. That was a snapshot that I took while I was out on one of my space journeys during. No, I didn't. No, isn't that beautiful? I mean, space, the final frontier. I feel like Jim Kirk of the Starship Enterprise. To boldly go where no man has gone before. Exactly. Not in God's eye. Because, well, once again, what I'm seeing is that we are all a part of this whole thing. We're a part of this whole universe. I know when I first came home a couple of years ago from the doctor's office after he said, you know, don't miss another life insurance payment. And you know, he says, you've got basically an incurable disease and you're not going to live much longer. I mean, he says, but there's always hope, you know. You go to church anywhere? He says, you know, there's always some kind of hope out there. Wasn't the greatest news to hear, but I came home. I had a whole new look and outlook of things. When I came home, I stood in front of my house and I just, wow, okay, this is for real. You see this in the movies all the time. You read books about this. And I'm looking around at the mountains out in front of our house, those hills, the hillsides and the grape vineyards, and looking over at the Horse Heaven Hills off in the distance. And it just had a beauty that it never had before. And I could feel it. I could sense it. I could breathe it. And it's like, it was almost like I could see that at some point in time, I am becoming it. And I already am a part of it, because in spirit, we are all a part of each other. We're all a part of this whole world, because once again, God created everything. And where did it come from? He created it from out of himself. Everything is of God. He created this whole universe, seen and unseen world. My gosh, we've got the seen world here, and we've seen the pictures of the universe here, just a touch of it. And what's in other dimensions that we can't see? You know, we watch those sci-fi shows where you've got a little time warp door here, and you can step inside, and now I'm in a whole nother dimension. Who knows what's out there? I'm not putting God in a box. And we talk about going up in the sky and having a few mansions on a street. That's nothing. That's nothing. Everybody's excited about going and getting into that new housing development up there. And that ain't nothing. We've got universes and dimensions to step into. There is so much more. And only at times do I get little tastes of it. Little tiny tastes of this universe and how big it is and how we're a part of it all. That we can actually be a part of the trees, the grass, the ground, the birds, the animals. We're a part of everything because it all came out of God. And if we're a part of God, then we're a part of everything. Now, I know this sounds new age, or actually new age is nothing but old age. Because it came out of the Buddhist and Taoist and everything else. I read a book on Taoism years ago, and it talked about things starting with the source, flowing out and returning to the source. They got a wisdom that's just, you know, unbelievable. Us Americans with our religion, sometimes we just get high and mighty and pious in our own beliefs, not realizing that God speaks to his other children in other parts of the world too. They've been around a long time and they've come up with a lot of things. They've experienced God and they can see him, feel him, smell him, and taste him through the inner side. I mean, if anybody want to talk about learning about the inside, talk to some of the people that understand some of those other Eastern religions. Whether they're deceived in some areas or not, well, we all are. Christian religions are just outrageous sometimes. More people have died in the names of religion and whatnot. You know, we've always thought we're right, and because we're right, we're going to kill you because you're not thinking right. You know, it's been Christians as well as Muslims or anyone. It doesn't matter. Some are crazier than others, but they've all had their problems and mistakes. But God speaks to his children over there too. God, the Spirit of truth will lead and guide us into all truth. And there's truth in old age, new age, any age. There's truth. God's in all. God is all in all. So it was created in him, flows out from him. We are all a part of God because there is nothing outside of God. There's nothing outside of God. There is no nothing that God created this universe out of. There wasn't a space dust over there, a planet that appeared from somewhere and he decided to make it something else. No, he's created everything because that's all there is. That is all there is in this whole entire universe is God, which we are every much a part of. Because as Christ was in the world, so are we. The same power that raised him from the dead raises us. The same as he is in the world, so are we. He says, Father, make us one as we are one. He was one with the Father. We're one with him. We're one with the Father. We're one with each other. We are all part of the same glorious, magnificent God Almighty. And when I get tastes of this, it just is unbelievable. The experience is overwhelming. But what happens is, I don't know how many times I start to experience this wonderfulness and this feeling of knowing this connection between us all, that there is no separation, that this body cannot separate us from the Spirit of God, separate us from who we are in God. This body can't do it. Nothing can. We're all a part of Almighty God, every one of us, working together in harmony. Sometimes it just, I mean, I can feel it so clearly sometimes. Being a part of the trees, the ground, the earth, the stars, the moon, I can feel that I'm a part of that. And I know it sounds crazy to some religions. It would be, oh, you're worshiping creation and not the Creator. No, but the Creator is also the creation because it had to come from out of him. So the Creator is the creation. And no, I'm not going to go bow down and kiss the tree and worship it. But I understand it more and more. And I understand that we are all a part of it. You know, if I wish I could go back and take some more physics classes and stuff where we talk about matter and everything. And matter cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be changed. And that's the way it is with all of us. With all of us and with all of nature, with all of this universe, it can't be created or destroyed. It can just be changed from one form to another. And it all works together to feed each other. And we work together as human beings to work together and feed each other. I had experiences when I was in the hole in prison, when I did 30 days in the hole, and God did some things to me there where I had like outer body experiences and spent hours and hours and hours in solitude, days and days in solitude, where it was that experience brought me so much closer to seeing and understanding and appreciating what's out there. You know, Larry had a revelation the one time when we were here that I was leading worship and he was preaching and we were in another country in spirit. We were in some other place. Not even necessarily in the country. Who knows? It could have been another world somewhere. I'm not limiting God. God's not in a box. It's not just this earth. There is dimension after dimension, I'm sure, out there. Because there is no limit to God. I mean, you're talking about eternal abundance. Infinity. We are infinity. We are eternal. And God is all that. And we are all that. And he had those experiences where we're preaching to these people and leading them in worship and talking to these peoples. And I had these same types of things happen to me years before that, in prison, in a hole, in solitary confinement, where I spent hours and hours where he increased my prayer language to where I was talking in other languages for hours after hours in complete full sentences. When I first received tongues as a 13-year-old, I only had one sentence. And that one sentence did so much for me all my life. Whenever I felt away from God because I had turned my thinking away from God. Anytime I was in any kind of situation, in dangerous situations or anywhere, all I had to do was speak that sentence and just amazing things would happen within my life. And there was a breakthrough where I could speak sentences and languages and more than one language. And I saw myself, I don't usually talk about this to other people because I don't know how a lot of people are going to react to it. But it doesn't matter. I'm saying it today. And you know, I had experiences where I saw myself outside of my body. I saw myself in other places and speaking to different people. One was like an Indian tribe. And I was speaking that language and I was there. I saw the people. I saw their faces. I saw their images. I talked to them. This went on. I was either going crazy in a jail cell, which is very possible. I go back sometimes and wonder, okay, maybe I was just coping. But you know what? I don't think so. It was too real. And there was something I felt in there that was so charged up. I've had another experience that I don't have time to go into today. But in the graveyard in the prison where I was there, they have a graveyard. People buried there from even before the early 1900s at this penitentiary. And I got to go in this graveyard by myself up there on the penitentiary hill. And I wrote a song about it, a poem about it, and I could share that some other time. But I saw into another realm. And I know there is so much out there. God hasn't begun to open our eyes to what we are in Him. We get so caught up in this physical world. All these barking dogs and pack of dogs that attack us. Problems with home life. Problems with work. Problems with finances, problem with other church members, problems with different religions. This whole world puts all of our attention and focus onto this planet and onto this physical being, into this physical realm, on this physical little tiny earth, thinking this is it. This is where our full attention needs to be. No, the Bible says to set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Set our affections on the things of the higher realm. Set our affections on the very Spirit of God. Set our affections on the whole overall universe. Because that's who we are. That's where we are. A part of the abundant, infinite universe. A part of this. A part of Almighty God. That's all there is, and that's what we're a part of. That's who we are. That's what we are, and that's where our attention needs to be. And anytime we see ourselves slipping to paying attention to the barking dogs or to anything else in our life, to the problems in our life, all we need to do is switch the focus. We don't need to look for the snakes anymore. We can look at the beauty of Almighty God. We can look at the beauty of the universe that is around us and in us. Look at the beauty in each and every one of us, which is all God and all God Almighty. And then things change. Our whole perspective changes when we start seeing things from a different light. My brother told me years ago, and he's an agnostic, but he taught me years ago, I was just a kid, and he took me to a restaurant, and he left a tip for the waitress that was as big as my paycheck, you know, and he's a doctor, and I was just at that time, a dishwasher or something. But so he left the tip as big as my whole paycheck. And I said, what are you doing? And he's, got to leave a tip. And he said, she did a nice job, and this is her bread and butter. I said, well, she gets paid. Well, not enough. You know, you've got to give. And he says to me, you know, clear as a bell, he says, if you give to the universe will give back to you. He said, you take from the universe, and it will take from you. And it took me 20 years to figure that one out. 20 years till it really made sense, and I understand totally what he's talking about now. And this is coming from an agnostic. Well, I don't know what he is. He might be a Buddhist. He might be a... He tells his patients that when people, Christians, come in, always trying to convert him all the time to different religions, and he likes to scare them off by telling them he's Buddhist, you know. And they're all, oh, okay, never mind. And yes, Tony. Exactly. What is the universe? Who is the universe if it isn't God? It has to be God. Everything is God. And we get that great overall. I don't understand it all the time. I don't understand it. I mean, there's so much I've asked God, and it's not my time to know. And there's no way I could know when you start looking at this whole overall universe and try to picture other dimensions and start, I mean, this is way beyond our minds could ever, ever comprehend. And it's way bigger than a cloud in the sky with a subdivision of, with houses on the corner of Hallelujah Boulevard and Glory Lane. And I mean, this is way bigger than that. Everybody's got their focus so small. I mean, it's like, man, you might as well think the earth is flat again. We got the opportunity to go to the beach this last August, and oh, I love it on the coast. That's right there near Portland. Not Portland. Near, then I was going to say Port Orchard. Okay, where am I? Newport, Oregon. There we go. These are pictures of Newport, Oregon Beach, the sunset on the beach. You can't see them here, but there's some surfers over in here, and they were coming in. But just beautiful pictures of this ocean. I compare the ocean to, you know, just the beauty of God. One more thing of nature that I get to absorb. I love the ocean. I loved it there. I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay there. It's so beautiful. I could go and breathe in. I don't understand the half of the ocean. But I don't have to understand it to jump in and swim. I don't have to understand it to appreciate it. I don't have to understand it to soak in and breathe in its beauty. I don't understand the whole thing. We went to the Hatfield Marine Science Center there and learned so much about the ocean and marine life and tide pools and all that. And I can't begin to understand the wholeness of the ocean. And this is just one little tiny piece of the ocean, this picture I took here, and it's beautiful. I've got a bunch more, and it's just one little teeny tiny piece of the ocean. And that's the way it is here. We've just got little pieces of God Almighty. This is God Almighty right here too. Right here we've got God Almighty right here with us, and we get little pieces of it, and we don't have to understand it all to know and appreciate its magnificent beauty. I can breathe in that sea air. I can still smell it and taste it and know that I'm a part of it. We're all a part of it because we're all a part of God Almighty. Going out on Steve's boat and looking around at those hills there on the Columbia River, it's beautiful. It would have been more beautiful if we would have caught some fish. But it was beautiful out on the boat. Exactly, and Merlin told us a story about that. Or one time we were driving the boat through the tunnel thing, and I think it was Merlin telling us that there was deer one time up on the hill, and the focus was on the deer, and in the meantime, the pole is going doo 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 doo, saying hello, I'm a fish. We're on the floor. You guys hear the fish? You're looking deer. So you know, and that's what happens. It's the same thing with the snake. You know, I miss the beauty because I'm looking at the snake. I miss the beauty all around in my life because I'm concentrating on the pack of dogs instead of on the beauty of who I am and to be everything that's within me. It's all a matter of switching our focus. One last thing, and I'll close, is God had showed me this months ago when it comes to changing the focus of who we are. I get stuck and hung up on the old man versus the new man, the new creation being versus the old Adam nature. I am, quit trying to look at my picture, I'm not ready to show it yet. They're all looking down at my picture before I put it up. Anyway, the old outer man, that Adam nature, I have for so long thought that was me. And had to always try to make it a good Christian. Trying to clean up a dead man. Because Adam will never be able to be a good Christian. He can try and he can put on his Sunday duds and he can read the Bible and say prayers and practice rituals, and he can go through all kinds of things to look and act like God, but he's a dead man. And our true identity, our true nature is the Christ within. And that's who we are. And that's where the focus needs to be. And then sometimes we see, though, okay, we're supposed to look at each other and ourselves as the Christ within. And sometimes that's hard because the old man, that old nature, sure can show itself. Them dogs can get barking. I know all the stuff going down around me this week. I was barking. I was a bad dog myself. Adam nature shows itself. And it's like, well, gosh, you know, why am I doing this? Well, for one thing, that's not me. The inner man does not act this way or do this or that. But the outer man does. And it's like, well, why? It sure feels, I mean, we're in this, I call this our temporal earthly reality. I know a lot of people are in New Agers especially are calling this a dream, calling this an illusion, or as John calls it, a delusion, which it is. But nevertheless, it just seems awful real. I mean, this is, I call it the temporal reality, because this is temporary. It's only here for a moment in time. For some purpose of God, which we don't totally understand, but we don't have to understand because, like we said with the ocean, we don't have to understand the ocean to swim in it. And it's the same with God. I don't understand why we go through all these things and why we have to go through all this. I have ideas, and he shows us things from time to time. But there's so many times we get caught up in thinking, this is who we are, that flesh man. When in fact it's dead, and it keeps showing itself. And what God had showed me was that one time when I was out flagging as a traffic control flagger a couple years ago, and they were putting in the new part of the bridge between Richland and Kennewick, and my job was to work this graveyard shift. They had the bridge closed, and they were finishing some work, and so I had George Washington Way blocked off in front of Winco. You can picture where I'm at. And I'm headed, as if you were coming out of Richland into Kennewick. We had that section of highway closed down right there in front of Winco. And they had a big generator with a big light in the middle of the road so people don't hit me. We had it coned off. And my job was to all night long stand in the middle of the road. And as a flagger, it gets very boring sometimes. Sometimes it's very active traffic and you're very busy. Then other times, in this particular job, this particular case, all my job was is to make sure nobody broke through those cones and headed towards a bridge that wasn't ready to be driven across yet. So it was my job to just stand there all night long. And that's your tax dollars at work, because it was on a weekend, $50 an hour to stand in the middle of a road. How do you like them apples? Tax money at work. But yeah, that was the one time I've ever made that much money in my life. That was, I just thought I was on top of the world. And then a couple weeks later, I get cancer and can't work anymore. So I realized, you know, money isn't important. Money's not important. God takes care of all my needs, and I'm just amazed at how he's taken care of us along the way. But while I'm there standing, directing traffic, the bright light that was there in the middle of the road in this generator, I don't know, it's about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting pretty bored, and I'm watching all the bugs that are flying around the light. And I just got into watching these bugs. I was glued to them, and look, there was hundreds of bugs. So I'm standing here looking at them all. Pretty soon, I see bunches of praying mantis. And I'm watching the praying mantises, and pretty soon I see this little praying mantis go and was riding on the back of this big praying mantis. It was giving him a piggyback ride or something. And then I realized, oh, I think they're mating. And so I'm sitting here watching these two. Oh, wow, okay. And pretty soon I'm starting to feel really weird about this and starting to feel kind of like a pervert or something. Like, maybe I better give them a room or something. And I'm going to turn away. So I turned away. I was like, okay, you guys, okay, do your thing. I'll look over here. So I look away for a little while, and a little while later, I look back, and to my amazement, the little praying mantis, the guy that was getting a ride from the other one, was dead. I went, wait a minute, I just turned my back for a few minutes. What happened? So I called my mom and had her get online, and you got to tell me about praying mantises. Are they like black widows or something? Do they kill their mate when they're done? And sure enough, they do. This is that's what I saw. There's the big praying mantis. No, that's exactly what I saw. Was that. And the next thing I know, the little one's dead. And in reading up on the praying mantises, when she's done with them, after they've mated, she's done, she reaches back and chews his head off. What a life. Well, you would think.
The
what? Head chewed. Yeah, new meaning to getting your head chewed off. Yeah. Got my head chewed off. Yeah, I don't feel so bad if my wife chews my head off now. Could be worse. Yeah. I mean, you'd think these guys after time would figure this out, you know? You think as time goes on, somebody would get the word out to the other ones. Yeah. They'd get the word out to the other ones that, hey, you better think twice about this. You know, something's not right here. But anyway, and then what I discovered through reading about the praying mantis with its head cut off is that it doesn't stop them. They keep on going for hours, finishing what they started. They have to finish what they started because even with no head attached, they're dead. Their head is gone. But pre-programmed inside of the DNA of their body tells them to keep on going and reproduce after your own kind and keep on doing it even though you're dead. And what a revelation that is to seeing the old nature versus the new nature. The Adam man, whereas in Adam all die and in Christ all are made alive. We have the inner man and the outer man. The outer man died. We died 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul says. I died. I was crucified with Christ. And he says, for you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we were dead and killed. But what does Adam keep doing? He keeps on reproducing after his own kind. He keeps on going through the motions. He keeps planting his seed. When we have the seed of God within us, and the seed remaineth in us, and it's an incorruptible seed, but the praying mantis keeps on going. Keeps doing his thing with no head, and his body is programmed to keep doing it. And that war that's within our flesh, the body, the war of sin, as the Apostle Paul said, that within us is sin. And of the flesh is no good thing. He says he sees that war going on between flesh and spirit, the inner man and the outer man. But he also said, I know the outer man's not me. But that's why Adam keeps doing what he's doing. That's why we keep seeing. It's programmed in his DNA. It's programmed within him to keep on sinning. That's why it says, with the Apostle Paul says, with my flesh I will sin. But with who I am, with my spirit within the heart of who I am, the heart of God, I will worship God. And that really made revelation to me, seeing that story of the, and I still think of that. When I go to the mission and stuff, I tell this story and it really helps to bring this alive, to see that if our focus is on the old man, it's dead. It's like a praying mantis with his head cut off, but still going through the acts and motions of trying to plant an incorruptible seed. Still trying to do what it was programmed to do, even though it's dead. But that's not our life. Our life is internal. Our life is the Christ within. And with that, we create everything. We create happiness, we create love, because that's what we are, is happiness and love, because we are all a part of God Almighty, a part of this whole universe. Amen. Anybody have anything to add? Thank God, not by me, but by Jesus Christ. The Christ within. It's who we are. And it's this whole overall part of the whole universe. I hope this kind of came together and made some kind of sense. I have so much going on in my head. Does somebody have something to say? Merlin?
On that deer, and the fish got away.
You were watching the deer and the fish got away. Yeah, exactly. I looked at the snake and couldn't see the beauty that I went there for. Guys in Vietnam were on a mission, and all they could see was snakes because that's where the focus was, except for the guy that was focused on what he was supposed to be focused on. I've been trying to focus on who I am, peace and harmony, love and joy and happiness. That's who I'm supposed to be. But instead, I focus on the pack of dogs. We missed the fish because we're looking at the deer. What's that, Lee? This world is not my own. I'm just passing through. Because we're in the world, but not of it. But yet, yeah. We are. We're in the world, we're of it. But who we really are in the fullness of it is God Almighty, the whole universe, we get the whole kit and caboodle. And that's just way better than a little mansion. Little mansion in the cloud. Oh, we got so much more than that. So much more. Now, we can't even begin to touch it, taste it, sense it, and feel it. I get little tiny tastes of it, and then they go away as quick as they come. It's like a dream. You ever woke up from a dream? And it happened to me so many times. I'm like, oh, I like this one. I want to write this down. This was really cool. And within seconds, it's dissolved and gone. I don't know what's going on there all the time. And the same things happen within the spirit world. I start to get an experience and see new things and things that are just unbelievable and outrageous and just the neatest thing. But as soon as I try to start thinking about them or write them down or analyze them, they're gone. And it's because it's not necessarily made for this physical realm. This physical realm can't handle some of the things of the spiritual realm because it's so awesome, because it's so incredible. Because it's created from God. Can't handle it, can't receive it. Because it has to be received and seen in spirit. Spiritualized. Heard with spirit ears. Amen. Who would like to close in prayer?
Okay. I will. All right, Father, thank you for this time we've had together. Thank you for showing us who you are, getting more glimpses into the more glimpses of who you are and who we are, who this universe is, and how awesome you are. And just please continue to help us, show us, grow us, so that we can be your love, be your peace, be your happiness. Jesus' name. That was something that, another thing he had shown us. It's when I help you, it comes back and blesses back, because everything that's put into the universe comes back. Like my brother had said, you give to the universe and the universe gives back. And so as we give of ourselves that love, it goes out, blesses everyone, and then is returned to us more times over. Goes around, comes around. Put our focus on the good stuff. Okay, that's it.